A reading from the Gospel of John. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God. He does not observe the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I don't know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In the mid-16th century, the Polish polymath and astronomer Copernicus stunned the world by publishing his theory that it was the sun and not the earth that was the center of the known universe. His book, De Revolutionibus Orbium Celestium, on the revolutions of the celestial spheres turned the world inside out and gave new political meaning to the old astronomical word revolution. The book was banned by the Catholic Church, as Copernicus expected it would be. Nevertheless, he published it, for he had seen something in the revolution of the stars which he could not unsee. And he published his book that others might see it also. New light was displacing old laws, and the sun was the center of it all. Scholars say something of a revolution was taking place within ancient Judaism when the Gospel of John was first written. An old way of thinking was being challenged by a new way of seeing was asking questions of an old. There was tension, and you can almost feel the tension in the text. There's conflict in the community. There's conflict in the synagogue. There's conflict in a family. And at the center of the story is this son, who, though he was born blind, now sees and says that his eyes were opened by the light of yet another son, the one they call the Son of Man. From the very beginning of the story, we witness the strain. Jesus is in Jerusalem and comes across a beggar born blind. The disciples wonder why he was born blind, expressing the then common belief that disability is a sign of divine judgment. Was it he or his parents who sinned, they ask, assuming the ancient but still today extant theological misperception and prejudice that one simply must be a sinner if they are born that way. But Jesus challenges this assumption. And here dawns the first bold ray of a new and coming dawn. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus says. This man was born without sight, and yet through this man will be revealed the fullness of God's goodness and light. With that, Jesus stooped down and he spat on the ground. And he made mud with his saliva, and he spread it on the man's eyes. He was working a miracle. But as my old black preacher friend John Barnes used to say, he had to work it down and dirty. After Jesus dirtied the man's eyes, he told him to go and wash in the water. And as he came up from the pool, he could, for the very first time in all of his life, see the waves and the bubbles and the water and the blue sky and the white clouds. And he could see the sun. And when Jesus later came and found him and looked at him face to face, the man, once blind, knew that he had also seen the light. And it's here that the deeper conflict began. When he returned from being washed, the neighbors and those who had earlier seen the man begging on the streets, well, they could not believe their eyes. Some thought it was not even the same man, but someone else who only looked like him. I am the man, he kept on saying. I am the man. And the Pharisees soon began an investigation, and they called the man's parents in as eyewitnesses. The parents were clearly torn, as we can see. They loved and they cared for their son, but they were also afraid, for they had been told that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be thrown out of the synagogue, and it unnerved them. They worried for themselves. And for their son, they could see the change that had come over him. They believed that it was Jesus who healed him, but still it had all happened so fast, and they were so conflicted. They had prayed all their lives that their son would one day be able to see for himself. But when it finally happened, well, they simply were not ready. They stopped talking. Ask him yourselves, they told the Pharisees. He is of age. We've told you everything we know. And when the Pharisees questioned the man, they asked him to tell them exactly what had happened to him and when. Well, it was on the last Sabbath, the man said. Jesus took mud and he stirred it and he placed it on my eyes and that was enough. The Pharisees immediately cut him off. The Sabbath, they said. This took place on the Sabbath. Only a sinner would work on the Sabbath, they said. Only a criminal could cause such a stir on the Lord's day. And it was clear from that very moment that the Pharisees had summoned the man into the synagogue, not to find out the truth. They were looking for dirt. And there in the mud Jesus had made on the Sabbath before, they found just enough dirt with which to smear and convict him. And after that, they began to treat the man Jesus had healed as a hostile witness. They tried to scare him into turning state's evidence. Now tell us again, they said, we say that Jesus is a sinner. What do you say about him? But the man neither quivered nor flinched. And he stared right at them. He stared right through them. And without so much as a blink of his newborn eyes, he said to them, I say that the man is a prophet. Now tell the truth, they said. Tell the truth to God. This man who did this, he is a sinner, they shouted. I do not know whether he is a sinner or not, he said. All I know is this, I was blind. But now, because of him, I see. Well, tell us then, how did this happen? They demanded. I have already told you, he said. You can read this in the text. I have already told you how it happened. Why are you asking me again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Would you like me to sign you up for the Becoming Broadway class? Maybe give you a pledge card? Would you like to volunteer in the children's wing? We'll make a real Christian out of you. The Pharisees were not amused. You were born entirely in sin, they said. And with that, they drove him out of the synagogue where they had all been gathered. And when Jesus heard that the man had been thrown out of the synagogue, he came to him and he told them that he had come into the world. That those who do not see may be given sight. And those who say that they can see shall be blind. And the man could now see, and Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man asked, "Who is he? Tell me, please, so that I may believe." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one who is speaking to you now is he." And Jesus standing there before him, the man believed not only with his eyes, but also with his heart. And we are told by the scripture that he worshiped him there in spirit and in truth. Outside of the synagogue where he'd just been thrown out. For now, the synagogue was no longer the center of the man's life, but rather the Son of Man. In this story, some of us will see certain strong parallels to our own lives and times. There's a man born a certain way, said by others to be a sinner, kicked out of the house of worship. And there's a political, religious system wielding its dogmatic power. They misuse and abuse investigations to coerce and control the people. And as always, as right now, they claim that it is not yet time for the beggar's day to come. There's the family, conflicted by tensions between old laws and new light, believing and belonging the customs and mores and conventions of the community and the lived experience and witness of their child. And then there's all those community members so conditioned by those in control that they cannot even trust themselves to believe their own eyes. This, said Orwell in 1984, is the most essential command of the party. That the people be told that they must reject the evidence of their very own eyes and ears and simply believe what the party tells them to believe. And finally, at the center of it all, a man so full of revolutionary light that the people pulled into his orbit are compelled not only to worship and call him Son of Man and Messiah, but also bright and morning star and very light of very light, who comes to bring light and sight and insight to all of the world. If only it would receive it. We are living in difficult and disturbing times, beloved. Books are again being banned. Those born gay or trans are labeled sinners, and the disabled are still labeled others. Our own government tells us what we have seen, all of us on video with our own eyes, is not to be believed. And many of us here know what it is to basically be thrown out of another house of worship. And this whole church knows what it means to be thrown out of a denomination. There's tension in the family. There's tension in the community. The struggle between new light and old laws. And it could be a time to be afraid and to blink our newborn eyes, but know a new light has dawned in the heavens of our hearts, and it has given to us a new vision and a new mission and a new hope and a whole new way of seeing all the cosmos. And once we have seen it, beloved, once we have really seen it with our own eyes, then, well, we cannot unsee it. Our eyes have been opened, and the light has come, and the light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The sun has shone into our lives. And we have centered our orbit around him. Here we stand. We cannot do otherwise. Here we see, and we cannot unsee. The prophet Isaiah said that the people of Israel were ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. The sun came with light to open our eyes that we might see and believe and look and newly understand our cosmos and our creation and our Christ. May the light shine perpetual in our hearts. And may we too, like this man, have the courage and the conviction not to blink, but to say, all I know is that he is a prophet, and that though I was blind, by his light, I now can see. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.